thank you, praise to you for leading us this morning. Great job. It's too long, so watch this. So much better. I did want to, I forgot to mention something that's vitally important, and you'll need to know this. We're looking for old mattresses, old couches that you want to get rid of. I mean, everyone's got an old couch you want to get rid of, right? Well, we're looking for a youth group. Not for Lizzie. No. But the youth group, it's interesting. They kind of go through phases, you know. There used to be all the old couches up there, and then they threw out all the old couches, and they put in all the games. Now the games are all disappearing, and the couches are coming back. You know, it's just a cycle. So anyway, just kind of like ladies' fashions. Just kind of goes around and around. But anyway, just wanted to make you know that. So if you know someone's getting rid of a couch, and you know, just let Brenton know. Please don't call me. Just let Brenton know, and they'll get it and put it up in their youth room. So anyway, boy, it's been a great morning. It's fun having a smaller group so I can talk to you guys and listen to you a little bit. And I think we need to share a little bit more often. Don't look at the clock and get all discouraged because, oh man, the pastor's got 40 minutes and he's got only 20 minutes to preach it in. And no, the pastor doesn't have 40 minutes, and I can do it in 20. And Melissa tells me it's even better if I can do it in 10. She's on your side, folks. She's always telling me to keep it short. She says, you do so much better when you keep it short. You know, so she's trying to say I shouldn't say so much. But we have just one verse we're looking at. We're getting right on through the Lord's Prayer. And I hope that as we go through this, it fills it out a little bit more for you, what the Lord's Prayer is really all about. And just really, you know, it seems so simple, but it's so profound. What Jesus said, what he tells us to say or to ask, or the example that he sets before us. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't the only prayer. I mean, there's a lot of prayers in the Bible. Paul does a tremendous job of praying, teaching us how to pray for one another in the book of Philippians. In chapters 1 and 3, he talks about how we can pray for one another by showing us how he prays for the church in Philippi. There are wonderful prayers, so don't take it that this is the only prayer. It's not. And just because one of the things, if you've noticed in this prayer, that you don't see, and it's something that almost dominates our prayer life today, is request for sick people. You don't see that in here, do you? You don't, and yet really it is in here. Actually, the verse of scripture that we're going to look at today, there's a lot of people who interpret this to be way bigger than what it looks like in this passage of scripture. But today, I'm going to read to you the whole Lord's Prayer. But we're going to just focus on verse 11. But I'm going to read the whole thing to you again, and as if you need to hear it again, but you're going to hear it again. Starting in verse 9, Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to focus today on verse 11. This is the first prayer request that focuses on our needs as opposed to focusing on God. And Jesus says in here, in verse 11, it's give us this day our daily bread. Simple line, simple sentence. In fact, you know, there's a lot of things that have come out of this. You know, there's a little publication that a lot of you read. It's called The Daily Bread. Some of you get that, and it's, you know, so it kind of takes out of this, and there are those who I think sometimes read too much into this little sentence, but what is Jesus saying when he tells us that we are to ask for our daily bread? What is he telling us? Now, I've been reading a lot about the Lord's Prayer, and Max Lucado, it's called The Great House of God, talks about the Lord's Prayer. And in that, this is actually not a Max Lucado statement, this is Martin Luther's definition of bread that comes out of the Lord's Prayer. And this is what Martin Luther defined it as. He defined it as everything necessary for the preservation of this life, including food, a healthy body, house, home, wife, and children. Not exactly sure he drew in wife and children. But anyway, what he's trying to get at is that when Jesus is saying this, it's more than just asking for bread. Bread is seen as the essential for life. We need to have bread to lead, to live. We can't just live on water. We need sustenance, we need food, we need nourishment, we need this bread. But in saying this, there's also things we need besides bread. And according to Martin Luther, and the way he looks at this verse, is that when we are asking in this verse, we are asking God to provide all of our needs. And there's a good reason to look at it that way, because as I looked at this and kind of pondered it and read through some different things, I came up with four things that when we say the Lord's Prayer and when we say, give us this day our daily bread, I believe that we are acknowledging some things that God does for us and that we need to have him do for us. The first thing is, we are acknowledging that all good things come from God. Have you ever stopped to think about that? But all good things come to God. I heard once theologian of sorts, and he was talking about hell, and I'm not going to talk about hell this morning, but I just want to mention what he said. He says he didn't think that hell was going to be terrible because of the burning lake and the brimstone and the fire and all that, but he says he thinks the hell is going to be horrible because it's going to be absent of anything good. It's going to be absent of anything good because only good things come from God. And there is nothing outside of God that is good. Now, there are some people who do good things, and these things have their nature, they have their start in God. They really do. But first of all, when we say this, we acknowledge all good things come from God. Everything that is good in our life has its basis in God. Now, I'll get into that a little bit later. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14 says, and this is David speaking, he says, but who am I and who are my people that they should be able to offer as generous as this? And this is the the money that they were supplying for the building of the tabernacle. For all things come from you, and from your hand we are, and from your hand we have given you. So what David was saying here is, and it was incredible. I was looking in one of my study Bibles has numbers to it, and it was talking about that they collected into the millions of pounds of gold for the building of the tabernacle. It's incredible what they gave. But here's what David is saying. He says, we only give out of what you have blessed us with. You know, the wealth of the nation of Israel in David's mind had nothing to do with the nation of Israel. It had to do with a God who provided that for them. Every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. James 1:17, and again, I love James because he doesn't ever beat around the bush. He says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Everything that is good in your life has its basis in God. And I would, you know, challenge you to look at the good things in your life and work it back. Work it back. Why do you have it? How did it come? How come you're in this place? Or how come you have this thing? Or whatever. Look it back and connect it to God, because it is connected to God. It's connected to God. The second thing that I think we acknowledge when we look at this verse and when we pray this, or is that we should acknowledge anyway, is that all good things come from God, and we are dependent on God for everything. We are dependent on God for everything. Now, again, there's a lot of people say, well, you know, we're not. You know, because I can work, and I can make money, and I can buy food, and I can do this, and I can do that. But again, this is the challenge. Work it backwards. Who gave you the job? You know, I mean, we look at, you know, and I'll use Lizzie as an example, because she's hitting it on her first big job. She's had a lot of jobs. She's worked a lot in her life. But, you know, this is her first big job. Who provided that for her? Well, of course, the hospital in Hardin is providing that for her. And Lizzie worked hard and got her education so that she is ready to do that. And, you know, and we can look at that and we can justify all that, but then let's take it back further. Who gave Lizzie the ability to study? You know, she didn't get it from her dad or mom. She got it from somebody. See, God is in all of this. The whole thing of the timing and all this, and we've talked about this, you know, of course, everyone who graduates from college has this plan that in a week or two they're going to be working full time and making a lot of money. And Lizzie was getting a little discouraged when, boy, it had been 2 months, 2.5 months, you know, and it's kind of like, what's happening here? And but yet we look back and the timing is so perfect. You know, mom and dad were not necessarily ready to let Lizzie go yet. So we got a whole summer with her. Now we're ready for her to leave. You know, that's not true. I make a joke about this because if I didn't joke about it, I would probably cry, and that's not nice. So I won't do that. But we are dependent on God for everything. You know, for in our very beings. Let's go back to John 1:3 says, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And so, in other words, everything that exists is from God. God created through Jesus Christ. And of course, that passage is talking about Jesus Christ coming to this world. But everything was made by God. Everything. Man just takes what God gave us and we rearrange it and create different things out of what God has given us, but we don't ever create anything new. We really don't. We don't. Everything that is we have comes from God. We are dependent on God for everything. And so even from the very start of our existence, our life, God made us. He sustains us. But then let's look at a little bit more practical thing. In Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Who covers the heavens with clouds? Who provides rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow on the mountains? He gives the beast its food, and to the young ravens who cry." Stop to think about this, and you know, we don't have a lot of farmers here today, but we all live in a farm culture, and we know what happens. What happens if it doesn't rain in this country? What happens? You know, this area is so dependent on rain. Because we don't irrigate. I grew up in the Willamette Valley. Willamette Valley has water. They just do. I'm not sure why anyone lives outside of the Willamette Valley, because the Willamette Valley has water. We've got this great big river runs through it, and there's a lot of rivers coming out of the hills. It just has a lot of water. And they irrigate everything over there. Of course, that's changing now, but they used to irrigate everything over there. But here, you come here, and it's like, can you imagine moving irrigation pipes on these hills? Oh, can you imagine a pump powerful enough to pump up the hill to run a sprinkler up there? You know, I mean, we are so dependent in this area on God providing rain. When it does not rain, we do not have crops. And when we do not have crops, there is no income really coming into this community. And everyone suffers. See, we're dependent on God for everything. He provides the rain. He provides the air. You know, if God were to go to sleep, we would disappear in a second. But God, don't worry, God's never going to go to sleep. He's not going to do that. And I think he really sums it up well in Matthew 6, 26 and 30, through 31. He says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field, how they grow." I know that I changed those words around, sorry about that. "They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself, not even Solomon in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" We are totally dependent on God. The animals don't know that they are dependent on God. If they did, they would be very thankful. He feeds them. You know, I like to think that you know, I am helping the animals survive in my neighborhood because I feed the squirrels, and I feed the birds, and I feed the hummingbirds. And right now, I'm feeding bees because they like the hummingbird food. But, you know, I'm guessing that if I stopped doing that, I wouldn't end up with all these dead creatures in my yard. My guess is they would find some other place to eat. And they would go. Because God's going to take care of that. You know, I walk to church and I come back and you know, these stupid acorns are falling out of these trees. Well, squirrels love acorns. You know, and so there's plenty of food around for them. They just don't go to Main Street to get it. God provides for us. But we are totally dependent on God for everything. Our health. We can't do anything if we don't have health. You know, we've mentioned that today. Some of you have said some health issues and how limiting it is. And if God hadn't intervened and helped you get better again, life would be miserable for you. But He did. See, He provides for us. We need Him. And the third thing is, God provides our daily needs, not for us. Now, you know, I know this has been covered in the strange fire. You know, there are a lot of people who say that we just need to demand from God what we want, and He will provide that for us. It doesn't say that in the Scriptures anywhere. See, God provides our needs. That, it says in the Scripture. In Matthew 6:23, it says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need of these." God knows our needs. Now, this is another thing, too, about prayer. When we pray, are we praying to change God's mind? See, that's a big one. We'll debate that in our Tozer class. So if you want to answer that question, or you think you've got an answer to that question, come to the Tozer class, and I'll tell you, you don't have a clue. But I won't tell you that. He'll tell you that. But, you know, we think that we can demand things from God, but the Bible promises that He will meet our needs. Look at Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Jesus Christ." God will provide all our needs. Now, sometimes He does provide our wants. But that's optional for Him. But our needs, He will supply. He has promised to do that to us. And so when we are praying, you know, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are acknowledging that God provides for our daily needs. And maybe the last thing that we get out of this is, God's provision is day by day. God's provision is day by day. And we've seen that through all of history. If we go back to the children of Israel leaving leaving Egypt and running out of food, and God provided food for them, but this is how He did it. In Exodus 16:21, it says, "They gathered it," and this is the manna that He provided, "they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt." The manna would go away. See, God said you are supposed to only gather enough for each day. Now, why did God say that? Why couldn't they go out and just, you know, gather, you know, baskets full of the stuff, so they had it for all week long? Why was it day by day? Because God wanted them to trust Him. And He wanted to show that He was going to provide them daily the needs that they had. The only exception was on, well, it would be our Saturday, but it was the day before their Sabbath. They were to collect enough for 2 days. And you know, it's interesting. On any other day, if you collected more than you were going to eat, if you tried to keep it overnight, it didn't work too well. It got wormy and it spoiled and was rotten. But on that Sabbath, the day before Sabbath, if you gathered enough, that did not spoil. You know, God wants us to trust Him daily. You know, I think sometimes we kind of get, especially in our culture, you know, we are such a blessed people, and I think we realize that. But we have so much. Even those of us who don't think we have so much, we have so much. You know, I can honestly say, we wouldn't probably like it, but Melissa and I could live off of our pantry for, a good month. At least a good month. And there's not even really a bunch of good stuff down there. It just have to learn to like to eat some things that I don't have to like to eat. But, you know, we think that everything is just, you know, we don't need God for food. My goodness, we have Rosars, you know. We don't need God. We have Rosars. We have Safeway. We have Albertsons. We have Costco. We have Walmart. You know, that's where we get for our food. You know, again, but then follow it back. Where do they get their food? Where does that food come from? And if you follow it back, you know, like a loaf of bread that is generally comes from grain that is grown. And if it doesn't rain, you have no grain, you have no bread. Walmart can't make it. You know, so you got to follow back. But see, we tend to not think that way anymore. That we daily need to depend on God. It's an everyday thing. It's not a once a week thing. But I think we've done that, and kind of even more as we've developed this Sunday. We come to Sunday, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we tank up on Sunday, and we get enough good stuff so that we can make it to the next Sunday. You know, that doesn't work very well. See, we need daily food. You know, how many would want to take this challenge? Okay. Today at lunch is your last meal. And you're not going to eat again until our potluck next Sunday. Okay? How many want to take that deal? You want to do that? You know? I don't want to do that because I'm going to be traveling. And I love to eat at McDonald's when I travel. So I'm not going to do that. You know? But, so, you know, we need food. We need to have it, maybe not as much as we do have and as much as we do consume, but we need it on a daily thing. God wants us to look to Him daily. That's why He does this. He's not being an ogre. He's not being mean. He wants us to keep our eyes focused on Him daily. Not once a week, not once a month, not at holidays. He wants us to look to Him every morning of every day, every moment of every day. He wants us to come to Him and look. Give us this day our daily bread. See, we have to ask that tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Because God wants us to. Why? Because He just wants us to do all this little work. No, He wants us to stop and realize who it is that provides for us the things that we have. He does. Give us this day our daily bread. And He will provide for us. I'm going to close with Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And this is a passage of scripture that just really blows you away. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we pray, asking God, and when we do that on a consistent basis, giving to Him our concerns, but also giving to Him our praises and our thanksgiving, when we do that, He will give us a peace that the world does not understand. It says that surpasses all comprehension. He will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, that's the power of prayer. That's what prayer can do for us. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. And that's why in his prayer that He gives, He mentions, give us today what we need for today. And then tomorrow we'll come and we'll ask again. See, God is not burdened by our asking for Him to supply our needs. He wants us to. He wants us to. And when we do it on a daily basis, we also, it's for us. So that we not get what we need, but we also realize who it is that gives it to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this example of prayer that Christ has laid down for us. Father, help us to remember what it is truly about and how deep it really is and how powerful it really is. And Father, as we live our lives on from this point, may we never say these words again without stopping to think just exactly what it is that we are saying and who it is that we are saying it to and what we are acknowledging when we ask God to provide for us our daily needs. Lord, may what we've heard today grow in our hearts and draw us closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.